I want to share the word of God this morning in regards to something that will hit all of us. No one's going to be excluded this morning. So turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 4. And while you're turning, I'm going to set it up, if you don't mind. Jesus has went and returned home, the place in which he grew up, not where he was born, but where he grew up. He has returned to the town of Nazareth, and he has been gone because God has begun to speak to him about fulfilling his mission. Say mission. And so he comes back home to his town where he was raised. And as it was a habit, everybody was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus walks in while they're going about their Sabbath day services. And can you imagine everybody's there and all of a sudden Jesus walks in. And when he walks in, everybody stops what they're doing and start looking at him. And the Bible says that as he walked in, all eyes was fastened on him, and he walked up and took the Torah, the writings of Moses and the prophets. And he turned to a passage of scripture in Isaiah. And he began to read it. And this is what he read in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And after he read that, he said, this day, say this day, is this fulfilled? This day, is this fulfilled? Today, it is fulfilled. You haven't got it yet. I said today. 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 It is fulfilled. For he has put an anointing in the house to heal you, to deliver you, to set you free. The anointing is here. Jesus is here. Today, I said today, not tomorrow, not yesterday, today, right now, R-A-T now if you need it, today, right now, is this fulfilled. The anointing is in the house, from wall to wall, from ceiling to floor, from door to door. It is permeated with the anointing of God, because Jesus is in the house. I said, Jesus is in the house. That deserves a worship. That deserves a praise. Because he's in the house. Glory to God. Jesus is in the house. So today, proclaim your liberty. I said, proclaim your liberty. I said, proclaim your liberty. He come to set you free. He come to heal you. So today, you better proclaim it. If you don't, you miss it. You got to flow when the anointing's flowing. When God is moving, you don't wait till it's over and say, all right, Pastor, pray for me. Too late. Because that anointing is gone. Step in the water while it's moving. Hallelujah. So he is talking to people who are hurting. I say this house is full of people who are hurting. You're hurting this morning. I say you are hurting this morning. You are wounded this morning. You have been bruised this morning. Oh, Pastor, I don't think so. Okay, let me talk to you. Listen to me. Have you had any emotional wounds afflicted by parents? Physical, mental, verbal, sexual abuse, abandonment? Have you done your own sin? Have you been in a broken relationship? Have you had major disappointments? Have you been through a nasty divorce? Have your parents been through a nasty divorce? Oh, is there general meanness around you? Are you mean? Or have others been mean to you? Even children can be mean. Hello, talk to me now. Even kids can sometimes be just as mean. Have you had any moral failures? Have I hit you yet? Such as fornication, adultery, abortion, immoral lifestyle? Can I go deeper? Is there any self-condemnation up in here? Is there anybody with no confidence? Somebody with low self-esteem? I'm coming after you. Anybody lonely and withdrawn? Who have few friends? Some of them don't have no friends. I'm going after you, y'all. How about unable to respond to proper to others properly? How about eating disorders? I'm coming all down in there. How about afraid to show love? You still? Have I got you yet? Inability to trust others. How about misconceptions about God? Are you there yet? How about your lethargic about life? How about a deep sense of despair? How about depression? I'm coming after you. How about major addictions such as smoking and alcohol and drugs and on and on and on? How about suicidal tendencies? How about wounding people? How about others who have wounded you? Have I got you yet? How about anger and bitterness and hate and violence? How about repeating things that happened to you? How about shame and guilt? And unworthiness. Did I miss you? Did I miss anything that you're going through? Now, let me ask you that question again. Are you wounded? Are you hurt? See, that's what the anointing is here for. To heal you. Healing is in the house. I say healing is in the house. The healer is in the house to heal you of all those things that you've been wounded by and whom you have wounded. Oh, come on now. So first thing you need to do, you need to recognize the clutter as strongholds, because that stuff is nothing but clutter. It's holding you back from drawing closer to God. It's holding you back from being all that you can be for God. Hallelujah. And God wants to heal you. Jesus wants to heal you of all that clutter. Oh, we're shouting now. Hallelujah. See, that's what the message is about today, is to bring healing to you. Oh, glory to God. God, I want you to focus specifically on how to get rid of that clutter in our lives. Oh, glory to God. Hebrews 12 and 1 tells us, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and besetting sin, which so easily ensnares. You know what snare? It means to entrap you. Any little thing the enemy can do to entrap you so that you cannot grow and you cannot be blessed of the Lord. He wants to rob you. He's a thief, a robber, and a murderer. And he's definitely out to kill you and destroy you. That is his desire, and that's what he wants to do. And he'll do it through any kind of thing that he can do to destroy you and your loved ones and your family. So he tells us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're in a race. Whether you want to run or not, you're in it. Hello. You don't have to run it, but you're in it. I said, you don't have to run it. You can sit down and sit on your hand. You don't have to do nothing, but you're in it anyway. Because you're in a race for your soul. I said, for your soul. Amen. And the Bible declares, he says, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? I mean, you can have everything it is and yet lose your soul. So you're running to save your soul. Not given to the swift. Not given to the strong. But is given to him who endureth to the end. Whew. That's powerful. That's why God was saying, it's healing in the house today to heal you so that you can run the race without all these heavy weights on you. Wherefore, we set before us looking unto Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus. That was so weak. I said, say Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, that's a little better now. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say Jesus. Jesus. No. Well, I'll go with a God. I'll go get you there. Yeah. That's tarrying pretty soon. That's old school. Hallelujah. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. It's hard to believe that it gave him joy to die for you and me. When we look at the garden, where he was saying if there was any other way, and yet he surrendered to the will of the Father and said, thy will be done. And he counted joy to go and die. Whew. That's powerful. Secondly, the weapons designed are for clearing the clutter. You see that clutter up there? I want to give you something to clear the clutter so you can get healed. Is that all right? Can I help you? Say, help me, Pastor. All right. The first thing you do, we must believe that Jesus really desires to heal and mend our wounds. I said, you must believe it. If you don't believe that God can do it, he will not go beyond your faith. He wants you to believe that he can do it. And when you believe he can do it, guess what? He does it. Because that's his desire, is to set you free, to free you up from the clutter in your life that's hindering you from running a good race. He wants to stop the clutter. Oh, glory to God. So in Luke chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 tells us this in regards to mending and healing. It says that Jesus, he went throughout every city and village and preaching and bringing good tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, his disciples, and certain women. He had 12 plus women who had been healed of evil spirits, infirmities. And it actually tells about one woman. It says, Mary of Magdalene, whom he had cast out 7 demons. Said 7. Woo! That's a lot of demons. I don't know about you. If you've ever dealt with folks that are demon possessed, it drains all the energy out of you when you're dealing with one. I'm dealing with one. Imagine 7 of them. And Jesus didn't even have to wrestle with them. He said, get the hopping. And they were, why? Because he operated with power and authority. The same power and authority he has gave to you as a believer. You hear what I said? The same power and authority he gave to who?
Us.
To who?
To us.
He got, I say to who?
To us.
He gave to who?
Me.
All right. The same power and authority he gave to you. The authority. Who believe? If you don't believe it, it won't happen. So he says, I've given you same authority. He tells us in Mark, he said, you shall tread on serpents. You can't tread on serpents if you're afraid of them. Oh, we're shouting up in here already, Lord. I'm trying to calm them down. Jesus wants you to be free from all the clutter. He wants you to be free. And every hindrance that stops you. That's why he tells you. And not only does he want to stop you, he wants to hinder you. Because the enemy wants to hinder you from growing and developing in the Lord. But God set it even in motion. When God sets you free, when Jesus has set you free, he not only sets you free, but he sets you free so that you can continue that freedom to the next generation. To the next generations. To the next generations. I want to apologize to the men because I spoke to the men in regards about going further to the fifth and sixth generation. And it's not the fifth and the sixth, it's the third and the fourth generation. And I got the proof here in Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6. It says, you shall not bow down to them, he's talking about other gods, and serve them. For I, the Lord your God, is a jealous God. Say, God's jealous. Therefore, the iniquity of your fathers upon your children to the third and fourth generations. To those that hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So he says, those that love me and keep my commandments, they get blessed all the way down to the third and fourth generations. But those who hate me, they get cursed down to the third and fourth generation. Now the question is, what you want? I say, what you want? I'm asking you a question. Answer me now. Talk to me, folks. I said, what you want? Okay, we got a little group over here and a little group over here that said, blessing. I guess the rest of y'all don't want it, huh? I asked you a question. See, I talk to you here, and I give you opportunity to talk back, so don't get quiet on me now. Because when you're with your friends, you get all loud. They have to shut you up. Can you keep the noise down? I'm trying to talk on the phone. Hello? So talk to me. I say, what you want?
Yes.
Anybody want a curse?
No.
Anybody in here want curses all the way down to the third and fourth generation?
No.
Nobody?
No.
You mean I ain't got nobody want the curses? But everybody wants them blessings, right?
Yeah.
So he tells you, he says, how do I get the blessings? Walking in obedience. Oh, we shouting. Why? Because, secondly, we must openly acknowledge and confess our wounds. Psalms 118, verse 5 says this, and 6, I called on the Lord in distress. Distress has to do with the wounds, has to do with being hurt, being offended. So I called on the Lord when I was hurting. So when you start hurting, who do you call on? Pastor Campbell, can you come? Prayer warriors, can you come? Intercessors, can you come? Uncle George, can you come? Aunt Millie, can you come? No, he says, I call to the Lord when I'm in distress, when I'm hurting, when things are going on in my life. So he lets you know that's who you ought to call first, not the doctor. Call the Lord. Because God can heal you before you get to the hospital. Oh, shout, just shout me down, y'all. I'm talking about healing. I wonder, do you want to be healed? Because if you want to be healed, you got to get into this. You got to step into God's word. He's given you the word of healing, word that can heal you. But if you don't receive it, I can't help you. Hallelujah. So he said, I called unto the Lord in my distress, and the Lord answered me. Hallelujah. That's so, Brother Ed, when I call on God, he said, I'll answer you. The only reason why God would not answer me is if I'm walking disobedience, walking in sin. Then God says, repent and I'll talk to you. Because he provides a way to get to him. I can't get to him in my own flesh. I can't get to him in my sin. But I can get to him in Jesus' righteousness. And 1 John 1 and 9 tells me to confess. And the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So he provides so that we can get there. So there's no excuse. Nobody got any excuse here why you can't call on God and God will not answer you. I'm trying to show you. See, that's how you're going to get your healing. Hallelujah. I'm not going to call on the Lord for your healing. Oh, Pastor, yes, I'm making you grow up in your faith. Because all you need is a mustard seed. And I can't give it to you anyway. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. See, you got to hear the word of God. You got to not just hear it, but do it. James said, don't just be hearers of the word, but be ye doers of the word. So that word, you got to allow it to marinate and speak it. You can't think in your mind, devil, leave me alone. You got to talk to him. Tell him. Say, tell him. See, why? Because you got to, he says, why? Because he tells him, he says, the Lord will answer me and set me in a broad place. Meaning God will put you in the right place where you belong. And verse 6 says, for the Lord is on my side. Guess what? He's on your side. The Lord want to be on your side. I like that. I will not fear. Hey, it's like the enemy's bullying you, harassing you, and all you got to do is call on the Lord and he steps in. And all of a sudden you see the enemy running. And you think he's running because of you, but he's running because God is behind you. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. You look, come on with it. Come on, devil, come on. And God's behind you. Glory to God, because he's on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So in other words, he said, there should not be any fear of man in you. Because if you get full of the fear of God, man has no room. The fear of man has no room when you're full of the fear of God. And that's not the fear of the lightning coming. Because you went in that place where you weren't supposed to, and that lightning. Building's going to cave in because you're going in there. No. The fear is that I don't want to hurt God. I don't want to offend him because he's done so much for me. It's out of that love. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. Why? Because we got to. Now, some of us are ashamed of our wounds. That's why you're all quiet on me today. And you really fear of what others might find out. And they find out that you aren't as perfect as you look or pretend to be. I know we don't have no pretenders in here, right? We got all real McCoys. We got the real McCoy up in the house. The problem with this is that you will just continue to make the wounds worse by not dealing with it. By not dealing with it. Deal with it so that God can heal you. Don't bury it. Don't hide it. But deal with it. Let God bring it to the front and lay it at the altar. Give it to God because he wants to heal you. When my wife was dealing with cancer, and we found out about it, and what was happening is that she had gotten this state of depression. Because when you hear about something like that, it kind of bowls you over. It shakes you at the core. And when she was told that she had it, she started thinking in the matter of how she wanted me to marry, raise the kids. And I told you, no. I was believing by faith that God could heal her and restore her. But brother, she didn't have the faith. And sometimes, no matter how much faith you have for somebody else, if they don't have faith for themselves, God won't do nothing. We were praying for her, and I had people praying for her, but she didn't have any faith for herself. I didn't know the reason why. God turned around and sent a couple, a married couple that were college students, and they came to the house and knocked on the door, and I answered the door. He said, we're here because God sent us to come. I wasn't familiar with them. My wife wasn't either. They said, we wanted to pray for your wife. God sent us here to pray for her. And they came in, and I told my wife, I said, they're here. They want to pray for you. And she's like, okay, whatever. Because when you get in that stage, you know, yeah, whatever, okay. She didn't know what they was going to pray about. And as they begin to pray, God began to speak to her heart. And you know what came out of my wife's mouth? She was angry with God. So she has to forgive herself for being angry with God. Because things can happen to you till you can find yourself angry with God because you got it. Or that he won't heal you. Because You don't know why, because you're angry and bitter. But when she repented, the anointing came in our little apartment, and she was healed. Now, don't clap yet. She was healed, brother, by faith. No signs of it. No signs of healing. She went to the doctor and everything was still the same. You hear me? And then she had to come back for another checkup a couple weeks later. And guess what? Her numbers start going down. And it kept going down. Every time she'd go and visit it, the doctor kept going down, kept going down, kept going down. To guess what? The doctor says, it's gone. I don't know what happened. I don't know. All I know is every time you would come, it would get lower and lower. And she was able to acknowledge it was God that did it. They hadn't gave her the medicine. All of a sudden, it just kept going down, kept going down, kept going down. See, it didn't be, the healing wasn't complete when the numbers went down. The healing was complete that very day they prayed. The healing was done by faith that day. But the results and the symptoms was a process. So you understand, because a lot of times we expect God to do it right then and there. But the right then and there is your faith. If you don't believe, it won't happen. Now, she could have doubted and could have refused to see it, because I don't see nothing happen. She could have went on back to the same stage and it wouldn't have happened. But over the period of time, she was walking by faith. Hallelujah. I understood that, how God was doing it. And God was showing us that it's by faith, not by sight. It's by faith. So if you believe, God said, I can do it. But the results is up to God. But the faith is up to you. You still with me? See, because God showed it through Jesus when he told the lepers to go and cleanse yourself. And the Bible says, as they were going, they got healed. It wasn't when he said it. It was as they were going. Meant they believed what he said. Otherwise, they wouldn't have went to the priest. They went back to doing what they was doing. But they received the word. He said, go to the priest. And they're like, okay, ho. If Jesus said, I'm going. And as they was going, whoop, leprosy gone. They're like, oh, ho. Nine of them was like, oh, let's run to the priest and get this thing done. And one said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus healed me. I need to go thank him. And the question to you is, when you release your faith, can you thank him? That's the action of belief. Say, that's the action of belief, is that when God says it's done, then I start thanking him for it. I don't wait till I get healed and thank him for it, then I want to come to church and give a testimony. The moment I receive the word, I believe it, because it's by faith. Oh, glory to God. You better take this step of faith. See, and that's what God has said. Step into it. Openly confess. Then, thirdly, we must deal with the root and not just the symptoms. Amos 2 and 9 says, yet was I who destroyed the Ammonites. God was talking about it. And those height was like the height of cedars. Talking about the Ammonites. And he was strong as oaks. Yet I destroyed the fruit above and the roots beneath. The fruit above and the roots beneath. That's what he was talking about. As we deal with the wounds and the hurts in our lives, it is very important that we deal with the root of the problem, not just the symptoms. If you're angry, why? There's a root of why you're angry. Anger is a result of hurt. Like they say, hurting people hurt people. Wounded people wound people. Hallelujah. Just like happy people make people. Oh, y'all good. Y'all good. Y'all getting there. Y'all getting there. Just like excited people. Are you excited yet? Glory to God. Oh, because, see, you have to understand. See, there is a root to the stuff that goes on into your life. Those hindrances, those things that there's a root to it. See. Now, God can even interrupt your prayer and tell you about a root if you're willing to deal with it. Hallelujah. I was in prayer and I was praying and interceding and asking God to give me opportunity for ministry. Oh Lord, I want to minister. I want to be able to do some things. God, you put all this in me and I'm just burning up with it, and I just need to get the word out and begin to do something for you, God. And I just felt locked down. And here I am praying, and all of a sudden God says, you're bitter. And I'm like, what? Right in the middle of prayer, I stopped. And he says, you're bitter. I said, I don't understand, Lord. Who am I bitter at? I'm trying to love everybody. I'm doing everything I can. He says, you're bitter. See, when God brings something up, you got to be willing to deal with it. He was telling me, and when he told me at first, I didn't want to deal with it. I was looking for excuses, looking for an escape to keep from dealing with it. And what happens when God brings something up, a lot of times, because we pushed it so deep, we forgot it. But God don't forget. Hello. And something can be buried deep in you, can be buried deep in there for years. Hurts and wounds that could be deep in you. And God's trying to get you to deal with it. So what happens? He may bring it to the surface, but then you push it back down. Then a couple of weeks ago, and then the Lord will bring it up and you push it back down. And that can go on for months. And he bring it up and you push it back down. And next thing you know, years, and it's come up. And every time it come up, you push it back down because you don't want to deal with it. See? And so God brought that to my attention. And so finally I said, God, okay, Lord, okay. I know I need to deal with this. So God, who am I bitter at? He said, you're bitter at those who are over you. Because you feel rejected. You ever got rejected by a boss or a promotion or something? You know, that can cause you bitter. And I'm like, you know, you kind of push it off, say, oh, that's their problem. They got something going on and all. Now, God says, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. You're the one that's holding something against them. And you are the one that is in prison. And it's hindering you from growing. Because I want to draw you closer to me. And I can't draw you closer to me with bitterness. Because, brother and sister, it was a root. It was a root. And a root many times goes deeper than the fruit above. Than the tree and the plant. The root is deeper. And it's deep because you don't see it. It's underground. And that's something that gets deep down into your spirit till you don't even know it. And every once in a while, a fruit may come out that's from that root. That's why all of a sudden you'll do something that's totally out of your character. Oh, we're shouting now. So I confess that thing before God. God, I'm sorry. I need to apologize. God, forgive me of this thing. And God began, I said, God, deal with it. Help me to deal with it. Help me to deal with it. Help me to. God is saying that to you right now. He's trying to help you to deal with it. He said, deal with it. Because those officials wouldn't let me do something that I wanted to do, and I felt in my heart this is ministry, and they said no. And I chumped it off. Said, okay, well, that's all right, you know. But I was hurt by it. Hello, you ever been hurt? You just kind of lie, wash it off. Oh, it don't hurt me. I'm fine. Liar. That's like somebody coming alongside of you and stab you real quick. And you say, oh, I'm okay. I'm all right. And you're bleeding out the side. And you remember the little pinhole, but it's still bleeding. You don't feel it because you're numb there. And you're just still, but you're still bleeding. That's what he's talking about. And I had just went on for a long time with that wound, not even knowing it, because I had pushed it down and forgot about it. But God don't forget. He remembers everything about you from the moment that he breathed life into you. He knows everything it is. He knows that you were rejected as a child. You may not say it, you may not mouth it, but you feel it. And every once in a while that thing come up and you push it back down. Oh, we having fun this morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to get you on out of here. But we're going to get healed first. See, so that's what God is saying. So I must deal with it. And so God is saying, deal with it. And so when I dealt with it, And gave this thing, say, okay, God, I got to deal with it. God, help me to deal with this thing. And all of a sudden, God began to dig into me. I mean, he began to dig into me so deep till my insides was hurt. My stomach ached with pain. That's how deep it was inside of me. And I didn't know it. I mean, I was on the floor, Gene, on the floor, balled up in a knot. Because that thing was so deep in me. That root. God got through with me. Pulling that thing out. I just began to praise God. I got up off the floor and began to worship God in my house. Worshiping is so loud and so exuberantly, so glad I'm free. Till I scared my neighbors. I said, I scared my neighbors. I scared my neighbors. Because they didn't know what was going on. But they didn't know I was being set free. I got set free of a bitterness that I had forgotten, didn't know it was there, but God did. And once that happened, brother, the doors for ministry opened up. And it had been delayed because why? I didn't want to deal with it. It had came up, but God didn't let it. So God wanted to understand. So in receiving our healing, deal with your disobedience. Hello. Deal with your disobedience. Say, I want to be healed. Secondly, receive the healing when others have sinned or hurt you. When other people have hurt, receive your healing from them. Because I was holding it against them. And I excused it out. But you cannot excuse what God is trying to deal with. Thirdly, receive the wounds that is done by evil spirits. There's sometimes that God has sent some wicked, evil people who's full of the devil who have come against you. And even though they may hurt you or wound you, you still got to forgive. Jesus tell us to bless our enemy. Yeah, I'm going to bless him with a brick. Let me bless that brother. I mean, just crown him. Bing! That's not the way God wants you to bless him. He wants you to open your hand, drop the brick, brother. Drop the brick. Bless him with an open hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Instead of praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So God is so that's what he said. He said to forgive, be sober. Because we know the enemy is after you. Know that you're in a warfare. Know that he's trying to do everything he can to hinder you. And last, receive the healing over unfortunate circumstances. Psalms 119:50 says, this is my comfort in my afflictions. For your word has given me life. Oh, glory to God. Your word has given me life. See, this is the area where we must draw strength, healing, and comfort from God's word. See, there's times when God can maybe send somebody to come and pray for you. There's times when God can meet you at the point of your need. And there's sometimes God says, trust my word. If I said it, I will fulfill it. And when I was dying, that's what God gave me. I was in the midst of a healing service. And I went there because I wanted to be in the atmosphere of worship. Doctors couldn't do anything. I was dying. And in the midst of that service, they began to pray. People began to pray. And the brother behind me prayed for me. And in the midst of worship, God gave me a word, Brother Steve. Thou shalt not die, but thou shalt live, saith the Lord. And God said, I will fulfill what I have promised. And I grabbed that thing. Hello, I grabbed that word. Held that thing. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. And I walked by faith. And begin to praise and worship God. And even though I was dying, I would come to service and sit in the front row, front seat, and out shout and out praise everybody. Because I wasn't there for the show. I wasn't there for them. I was there to give God his glory and his praise. I mean, I would hardly could walk, Mother Cabello. I was so weak they would have to carry me. And while they carry me, I'm hallelujah, praise the Lord. They'd be dragged, glory to God, glory to God. And they take me, sit me down. And I mean, they couldn't have had no strength to get up. I said, no, brother, help me up, help me up. They would lift me up. I said, you know, if I fall, pick me up. But I come to praise and worship God. And through that, God began to heal. It took a whole year. Because sometimes God wants to know how serious you are. Are you just playing games? You want a quick healing, or do you want a real healing? See, you want just a fix, or you want a complete deliverance? See, some people just want a fix. Just heal me so I can go back out and do what I used to do. Huh? But what if you got to trust God? Trust him for a year. For years. And God just sustains you. Like the widow. Each day he gives you just enough strength for that day. I'm telling you something. I walked. God gave me faith one day at a time. And my healing was one day at a time, brother. So every morning, God gave me strength for one day. Hallelujah. God gave you, see, God may only give you what you need. Not what you want, but what you need. And sometimes when you're going to trust God, God said, I want to see how much you're going to trust me. I'm going to allow everything to come at you. And I want to see how perseverance you're going to do. Every day. That's why I do it now. I'm still doing it. God hear me, and I still get up in the morning giving God praise and worshiping. Waking up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for the day. Oh, Lord, I just thank you. You watched over me. You took over my family. I wake up praising and thanking God. See, I wake up, oh, God, it's good. It's morning. I wake up, oh, God, it's morning. Say, oh God, it's morning. I want to praise God. It's morning. Glory to God. A brand new day. Every day is a brand new day. Do you know that? Amen. Brand new. See, when you woke up this morning was a brand new day. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here yet. All you got is today. See, and that's what God gave me day by day by day by day by day. And day by day, God was giving me strength. Till before you know it, a year has passed. Then 2 years, 3 years, and on. See, because you can be dying one moment and start living the next. You could be dying right now and in 10 minutes be living. And that living may not even feel like it. Things may not have even changed. But the living is the living by faith. As I took God at his word. Not by how I feel. The pain was still there. The symptoms were still there. But the faith was changed. See, faith wasn't in the doctor. The faith was in God and in God's word and his promise. Because if God promised something, he's going to fulfill his promise. And God says his healing is in the land. His healing is in the house. Now who are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe? Whose report are you going to believe for this morning? He says the healing. The healer is in the house. All you got to do is receive it. I said, all you got to do is receive it. Father, in the name of Jesus, each and every person in here, Lord, that has been wounded, that's been hurt, that has been broken, that has went through change, been tormented, been oppressed, been afflicted, been abused, got all of the symptoms, all of the things that has happened in our lives, from birth to where we are right now, God, you said you're a healer. You said that, God, you come to heal the brokenhearted, to despair, to recover, even give sight to the blind. Open up our spiritual sight, God, that we can see it by faith. See it by faith. See it by faith. Amen. That we walk by faith, not by the natural sight, but what you said. And each and every day, God, giving you praise. I said, giving you the praise. Giving you the praise. Giving you the glory and the honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, my brother and sister, God has spoken. I said, the Lord has spoken. And it's up to you whether you believe it and receive it, or whether you reject it and not receive. But your healing is all by your faith. So either you receive it or you don't. The word has been given. Whose report are you going to believe? Now, Father, we thank you, Lord, for each and every one. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Now, in receiving it, when you receive a gift, what do you say to the person? So that means by faith, you got to start thanking God for your healing. I say, you have to start thanking. Because I can't thank him for your healing. So every day, you got to wake up. Every day, you got to thank him for your healing as you walk by faith. And watch God perform his word. I said, you watch God perform his word. Sister Ann, come in. Come sit. There you go. She has lost a brother. I just want to lift her up before the Lord, her and her family. They've just buried a dear brother, and he's been battling, but God has healed him, taken him home. And we just want God to minister to the family, because they need his comfort and his love more than ever before. Because it's a hard thing to lose a loved one when you've watched them go through so much suffering. You're glad at one end where they're no longer suffering, but you're hurting because you miss them. Father, extend your hands toward her. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we lift up our dear sister Anne before you, God. We're asking, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you told your disciples, Lord, you would not leave them comfortless, and you would not leave us comfortless as well. God, we're asking, Holy Spirit, come and comfort their family, comfort their heart, their mind, their spirit, their soul, their emotions. Comfort them, Lord. Because long after those that have been around them have gone on and living on their lives, you are still there. You will be there when nobody else is there, when they're all by themselves, God. Will be there to comfort them. And we're asking God that you would just strengthen them, Lord. Day by day, give them strength day by day, Lord, to move on, to walk in faith. And Lord, to walk with the hope of knowing that one day you will come and receive all of us unto yourself. And so, God, I'm asking that you comfort her family, comfort her loved ones as well, God, of this loss and this hurt, this wound. God, put your nail-scarred hands on the wound in the heart. For you said you come and you're anointed to heal the broken heart. Let your anointing flow over their lives. Now, God, just be with her and comfort her. Give her strength, Lord. And those that have come around, God, let them feel the love of God. Your people, in your mighty name, Jesus, to God be the glory. Amen. We'll continue to pray for you, sis. As I dismiss, don't forget, leaders, we need you to go directly downstairs. We want to get right into our meeting, our leadership meeting. And don't worry, we got you covered for our lunch. So we need all of our leaders to go down directly. Okay? And Antonio, want to meet with all the men. As soon as I dismiss you, all the men come up and these front row here on this side, meet with them. All right. Everybody, I need you to stand as I dismiss you. Okay. Yes. Let me dismiss my blessing, the blessing of the Lord over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask that you will bless your people, Lord. Bless their coming out and their going in, their rising up and their laying down. Bless the works of their hand and the fruit of that labor. And Lord, may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Now say this with me. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from another, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you. Don't forget, we'll be meeting with you, all our leaders.